When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hello, everyone. It's your old pal, Chuck, one half of Stuff You Should Know. Josh is asleep. I can hear him snoring next to me. And this episode, for my select pick, Could You Live Without a Refrigerator? Sounds silly. From January 2, 2014. I guess it was our New Year's special edition. But hey, can you live without a refrigerator? It's really about slow food. Check it out right now.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know, a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark, and there's Charles W. Chuck Bryant, and Jerry's over there.
And she's eating stalks of broccoli.
Yeah, she's
not
green.
The florets. She's eating the chunky trunk.
She throws the florets away. Bizarre.
No, she's not into food waste, so she's eating every single bit. She's just munching on it like a rabbit over there.
Oh, I see.
You know?
Oh, now that I look more closely, I see that you're right.
That was just a clever lead into what will be a great intro from you.
No, that was the intro.
Oh, okay. Jerry doesn't waste food, people.
No, food waste is a terrible thing. And that's only part of the tip of the iceberg of this subject that we're about to touch on.
Tip of the icebox?
This is a huge, rambling, enormous topic that we're about to tackle. See, Chuck, you've heard of green, eco-friendliness.
Yeah, we like
eco-consciousness.
We like to push that racket when we can.
Yeah, what's sad is like more and more today it seems to be, well, there's parts that have become ingrained, like people recycle, and like recycling is just a thing now. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah, like if you don't recycle now, you're kind of like one of those people that throws cigarettes out the window.
Yeah, that's pretty bad, too.
You know?
A lot of people still do that.
Yeah, but I think, not to get off on my high horse, but I think a lot of the people that toss the cigarettes out the window probably, like, would say, if someone threw a McDonald's bag out the window, they'd be like, how can you do that?
Yeah.
Like, they justify cigarettes somehow.
I've seen that. People throw those things out.
Like, eco-friendly people, I think, eco-friendly smokers, I think, justify that, because it's like, well, you still don't want a cigarette in your car.
Dude, because they stink. They're gross. Yeah, they're so bad for
put
you.
Put it out there. It'll end up in a lake or something. A bird will eat it.
Did you know that I was at the gas station the other day,
uh-huh.
And I saw a guy driving off, and as he drove off, he held his hand out the window and released a stack of apparently losing lottery tickets. A stack. I'm talking like 30. Just right into the parking lot.
Wow.
I couldn't believe my eyes. I mean, it's a joke now, literally, on Anchorman. In the original Anchorman, when they finish all of their McDonald's, they just throw all their stuff like in the park.
Yeah, it's a joke. Mad Men had one of those too. They had like a family picnic.
Uh-huh.
And afterward, they gathered up their stuff and just like picked up the blanket and threw all the trash out and were like, let's go.
Right, exactly.
That's how it used to be though.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird that used to be a thing, that it's okay to throw trash on the ground?
And it's not okay, but some people still do it. I've seen it, right?
Man.
But the point is, I am making a point here, believe it or not. There is some parts of the green movement that have become entrenched, ensconced in the mainstream culture. And it's having an impact. It's having a real effect.
Sure.
It's not having enough of an effect. We're all headed for global catastrophe eventually. Yeah. but when we think about the green movement now, it almost seems past tense. Like it was, there's parts of it that seem like a bit of a fad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like being green, how green can you go? Like what can you do? And there was this thing that kind of popped up in 2009 because of a New York Times article.
Okay.
Where people were starting to give up their refrigerators.
Oh, yeah?
As part of the green movement, to be green, to basically, like, say, I'm greener than thou.
Right.
You get the impression that that's what they're doing. Ultimately, they're saying, no, it's just one less thing that's using up electricity,
sure.
So it's saving CO2 emissions. But it seems to me to fall along the line of the people who, like, had themselves sterilized so they couldn't contribute to the growing population, global population.
You're saying those are about the same?
It seems to me.
Yeah.
Although the refrigerator one is far more reversible. Because you just go out and buy a refrigerator and plug it in.
Yeah, that's true.
And then, bam, I'm back, baby.
Well, you can reverse your procedure to not have kids, too, these days.
Yeah, I think it's kind of – it's a roll of the dice.
Oh, really? If it'll work again?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought you could get it reversed, no sweat.
They can, you know, reverse it, but it doesn't necessarily work.
Oh, okay. I thought it was pretty good.
Mm-mm.
All right. Man, that was a sidebar. So should we talk about food waste?
Well, let's talk about this refrigerator thing. You're really fixated on the food waste thing, aren't you?
Well, it's a big part of whether or not you can go without a fridge.
Well, let's talk about what happens or why people go without a fridge first, Chuck, if you'll bear with me.
Okay.
So people are pulling the plugs on these refrigerators, or they were in 2009, or at least three people were in 2009.
Yeah.
One in Canada, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I got the impression from reading the original New York Times article that there were it was just kind of the sub thing among the eco green.
It wasn't all the rage.
Like, no,
like bamboo flooring and cork flooring.
No, and the New York Times article pointed out that it seems to be a dividing line among green, the eco conscious
and the eco crazy.
Yeah, like where some people say that's preposterous.
Sure,
that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And then other people were like, look at how far I'm willing to go
right. To
be green. So what's the benefit of all that?
Well, a refrigerator uses electricity, and I guess we can give you a couple of stats to bring it all home for you. Typical fridge post-2000 uses about 450 kilowatts per year.
Yeah, that's thanks to the Energy Star ratings.
Yeah, which is better than it used to be for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to translate that into cheeseburgers, no wait, into miles driven in your car, because we're talking about the emission of CO2.
Right.
That's about 800 miles, driving your car about 800 miles.
Depending on what kind of mileage you get, because really it's equivalent to what, 35 gallons of gas?
35 gallons, yeah. So even then in the article, they point out that it's kind of low on the list. It ranks behind clothes dryer, central air, and your furnace.
Yeah, your furnace is like 6,000 kilowatts a year.
And it's amazing.
So your refrigerator is 450 kilowatt hours of electricity per year.
So it's not even super high up in your household.
No, it's nowhere near. But I think the people who are pulling the plugs on these refrigerators are saying every little bit counts.
Yeah, and they probably have already taken other green precautions. Like, they probably don't run their furnace like this, you know?
Right.
Like, they might have a potbelly stove.
They better not. If they use a normal, old, like, terrible electric furnace, then I'm going to go to their house and have a little chat with them.
It's like shaking outside their house, yet they're eating out of an igloo cooler.
Right. And that's what they do. I mean, like, when you pull the plug on the fridge, I wish I could just come up with another phrase that rolls off the tongue, because I'm tired of saying that.
It's
when you go
catchy.
Without a refrigerator.
Yeah. Defridge.
Defridge, Chuck. Nice.
Thanks.
When you defridge, you still need, typically, some source of cooling inside of your home, something that can keep some food items from perishing. Because we apparently refrigerate a lot of stuff we don't need to.
That is true.
Yeah.
You can keep that ketchup and mustard out on the counter.
Yeah. Hot sauce?
Oh, yeah.
I've read it goes 3 years in a regular pantry.
Really? A little sriracha? Just keep it out there?
Yeah.
We kept growing up, kept a lot of stuff out of the fridge, and not for any reason other than that's just how it was in my house. Like, I remember butter like in a tray on the counter.
Butter's better that way.
Room temperature? Oh, man, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It's so spreadable.
Right. I keep mine in the fridge just to keep it longer because I don't need that much butter. But, man, if you go to a restaurant and they give you butter and it's cold,
dude,
I'm just like, what are you doing?
It's literally Emily's biggest pet peeve is
cold rolls
with cold butter.
Yeah.
Or hot rolls with cold butter.
Yeah, because you get the hot rolls and you think this place knows what they're doing.
Yep.
And you get this cold pad of butter.
Yep.
So I've developed a technique. You know the
under the armpit method? Well,
it's close. It's you just cup your hands and you put a couple of those little foil wrapped. You want to make sure it's wrapped in foil. It's pats of cold butter.
Sure.
And you heat them up pretty quick. And I'll tell you what, you can make some friends around the table if you heat somebody's butter up for them, because nobody likes cold butter.
And then you hand them the little butter pat, and you're like, here, take this.
Yeah, it's my gift to you.
I like it when they just have a little olive oil and balsamic vinegar, you know?
That's good, too. But I like good room temperature butter, especially like 83% milk fat content or more.
Yeah, good butter. So like I said, I left butter out. We left, I remember certain condiments being left out.
What about fruits and vegetables?
Yeah, like a lot of vegetables I don't refrigerate now. Like I never refrigerate peppers and onions and...
Well, you don't want to. If you do refrigerate an onion, it will last longer. But if you're going to use it to eat, you want to take it out of your refrigerator and bring it up to room temperature before you cook with it or use it in food because it takes a lot of the temperature away. But that's also a tip if you hate crying. Because if you cut a cold onion, the enzyme that eventually sets off the chain reaction that makes you cry is contained. It's not as volatile.
I've noticed that.
So that's your tip from Chuck and Josh.
My eyes kill me, too, with the onions.
Dude, it depends on the onion.
And it's not just like, oh, it's little tears. It's like massive burning. It's really bad.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
You should
I'm
see.
I'm hypersensitive.
I did a Don't Be Dumb on it that explains exactly what's going on with you.
I've seen that.
Oh, okay. So you know.
A lot of the vegetables I don't keep. Like, it depends on when I'm going to eat it. If I bring home some, like a big head of cauliflower, I'll keep that out in the fruit basket for a couple of days.
I've never seen that before in my entire life.
What, cauliflower?
Out.
Yeah.
I've only seen it in like a crisper drawer.
Yeah, I've left cauliflower and broccoli out. Like, green onions and
I can see that.
Lemongrass,
sure.
Garlic, of course.
Yeah.
Potatoes. No, don't want to refrigerate potatoes.
I think I would like kind stop short and point that. If I saw like cauliflower out in like a fruit basket.
Really?
Be like, what is that?
No, that's just fine.
Huh. I haven't even been to your house. I didn't notice that.
Well, I mean, I don't always have.
Had you gone through the cauliflower?
Yeah, just eaten it.
Tomatoes are another one too. They'll last longer in the fridge.
Yeah,
but if you're
going to
cook with them. You want to bring them up to room temperature. Some stuff you just don't want to refrigerate. Potatoes, apparently, don't do very well in the fridge. You put them in a nice brown paper sack in your pantry, away from the sunlight. They keep for a really long time.
Yeah, you know, Jerry, I think Jerry showed me the little trick. Was that you with the cilantro, Jerry? Yep.
Oh, what? I need to know this because I eat a lot of cilantro.
The cilantro you don't use, just fill up a glass like half full of water and just throw it in there and just leave it in your kitchen.
So
the base of it in the water.
Right.
And just stays fresh, like, super long. Hmm. And, you know, the fridge can beat up cilantro after, like, a day or two.
I like your optimism, by the way.
Thank you. The avocado is what always kills me, though.
I eat a lot of avocado as well.
It's hard to keep those fresh.
I've
tried a lot of tricks, too.
Well, here's your trick.
I will teach you the trick.
You ready?
Okay.
Oh, you're cutting up an avocado?
Yeah.
And like, yeah, that's it for the avocado. I have no trick for that.
Well, what do you eat them whole?
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't understand.
I don't know. I don't like eat the skin and everything. No, that's not what I mean. It's like once I cut into an avocado, all of that avocado is about to be consumed by me.
Oh, well, so that's the tip?
Yeah. But I do have another tip for you, though, with avocados. You know how you go to the store and you like squeeze them and you can find one out of 150 that's squeezable?
It's pretty annoying.
It is. But that squeezed one is going to be nasty and bruised and just disgusting. There's going to be basically like rot wherever you and everybody else squeeze that avocado.
Yeah.
So you're going to have a lot less usable avocado. So you want to get one that you can't squeeze. It's so firm, it can't be squeezed.
Well, but then you just have to wait a few days to eat it.
You can wait one day.
One day?
That's all it takes, my friend. And here's how. You take a brown paper bag and buy a banana.
Okay.
And you put the banana and the avocados in the brown paper bag, roll it up pretty tight, but they, leave a little space in there.
And they do it.
And the right. They get it on.
Uh-huh.
And what happens is the avocados ripen.
Really?
Yeah, the banana, as it ripens
turns
itself,
turns to dust.
it puts off a gas.
Interesting.
That ripens the avocados.
I'm going to try that.
And I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
12 to 24 hours, you have totally ready avocados.
Yeah, because I like my avocados firm still.
Oh, you're going to love this, Chuck.
And not mushy, but not hard, just firm.
You're going to thank me later.
Man.
I'm excited about your avocado experiences now.
I am too.
So there's plenty of stuff that doesn't need refrigerating. So that's one way that people can defridge.
Yeah, this is turning into like Food 101 with Josh and Chuck.
Yeah.
I hope that's okay. Plenty of stuff that you don't have to refrigerate.
But people still use some sort of cooling mechanism.
Yeah, like a cooler. Like if you have meats or dairy products, if you want to go without a fridge, most people use a cooler. And the thing that annoyed me with this article is they said, or they use a mini freezer to make ice. I'm like, well, that's probably just about as bad as your stupid fridge.
Well, it's pretty close. So like one of those little chest freezers, I didn't see the size of it. Oh, a 6.4 cubic feet chest freezer, which isn't big, but it's not that small. But apparently that's the thing that people who defridge use. That still uses 200 kilowatt hours a year. So really, by unplugging your refrigerator and just using a chest freezer, you're saving about 15 gallons of gas a year.
Yeah, I don't know if that's your best. Like, spend your time doing better things for the environment, I think.
Right. Well, again, I think people who do this are saying, I'll do this on top of stuff. And then kind of cleverly, if you ask me, they're using the ice chest to basically fill up like a 2-liter bottle of water, which they didn't allow to go to waste, that 2-liter bottle.
Sure.
Putting those in the freezer chest and then having like a separate cooler that they put the frozen water bottles in to keep cool their milk and their meats and stuff like that.
You know what? We're going to talk about some tips for shopping to accommodate this lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But first, let's take a little message break.
Okay. Stuff you should know. All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on. Hey, everybody. Did you know that Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico? But it's more than just a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Yeah, that's right. It's an island that's filled with adventure around every corner and natural treasures waiting to be explored, like El Yunque, the only tropical rainforest in the entire United States.
That's right. Or you can get swept away by natural beauty and come away with unique stories that could only be experienced in Puerto Rico that remind you of why you travel in the first place.
Visits end, but stories last forever. You don't become a part of the island, it becomes a part of you.
That's right. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
All right, so you were talking about the cooler full of frozen bottles of water to keep like your milk and some of your dairy and stuff. But when you go to the store, if you're going to try and live this way, you can't probably buy the gallons of milk unless you really go through a lot of milk. You might want to buy quarts of milk.
Right.
You can't go to Sam's Club and buy 8 gallons of mayonnaise unless you eat that pretty quickly. That makes you disgusting.
Yeah, and if so, then maybe you should focus more attention on your mayonnaise habits than what you're doing for the environment.
So you're going to have to buy smaller amounts of things, which they say can cost a little more. But
well, yeah.
If you're not wasting food, though, like if you added up the food you waste, you're probably burning a lot of money. And there's going to be far less food waste if you're buying in smaller amounts.
Right. The other side of that, though, is if you're eco-friendly or eco-conscious, you're one of the things that you're probably trying to avoid is packaging as well. And if you buy smaller amounts of food, that means you buy more packaging.
Oh, shoot, I didn't think about that.
And if you have smaller amounts of food, that means you have to go to the store more often.
Yeah.
And then you may have to drive more often.
Man.
Which doesn't matter if you're riding a bike or something like that. But if you're driving a car, then you're burning those gallons of gas that you might necessarily not have been anyway.
Yeah, like you get in your old 72 pickup truck right. and drive 12 miles to get like a pint of mayonnaise.
Right. You have to stop and fill up at least once during that stretch.
So can we talk a little bit about food waste, though?
Yeah, because it's a pretty big thing. Like if you have no refrigerator, the chances of your food spoiling just simply increase.
If you have no refrigerator?
Yeah.
Well, not so. Apparently, according to a 2008 report, in less developed countries where they have no refrigerators, they experience less food spoilage.
Bam. You just faced me.
Because they're eating what they need.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
They're not going to Sam's Club.
Right.
And buying 700 chicken McNuggets to put in the freezer.
I hear that. And I guess if somebody who defridges uses the developing world as a model for their food consumption, I wonder what hang-ups there are, though, that would keep you from successfully doing that.
Yeah.
Or if it is just entirely possible to just watch how you're eating enough so you don't have very much food waste.
Maybe.
Let's talk food waste, finally.
In developing countries, post-harvest losses of food grains can reach as high as 50%. 50%, dude, in developing countries. Isn't that a sad statistic?
Yeah, because one of the things that makes that so sad, Chuck, is that food has been harvested and is ready to go.
Yeah.
So not only is it ready to go, it just doesn't make it to somebody's stomach. All of the energy used to produce, harvest and transport that food has already been used as well.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
So that's a huge waste there, too. It's not just food waste.
You add a double bummer onto every bummer that I express.
Yeah. I'm good at it.
The U.S. spends about $1 billion a year to dispose of food waste in this country, $1 billion a year. And the EPA says that food leftovers are the single largest part of our waste stream by weight.
Right. They make up about 12% of municipal landfills, which are a pretty awful word in and of themselves because municipal landfills are responsible for about 34% of methane emissions globally, or at least in the U.S. And methane is 21 times more damaging as a greenhouse gas than CO2.
Yeah, and all that food waste is producing like tons of methane.
Yeah, which is, I don't understand why we're not trapping that methane and burning it off as energy. I know there are some pilot projects, but I don't understand why that's not a bigger thing now.
Yeah, didn't we study something about cow farts?
Yeah, I saw that.
I seem that rings a bell from the past.
Yeah, livestock is a huge contributor to methane emissions.
Yeah.
And nobody knows what to do about it, but there were plans to kind of try to trap it and burn it for electricity. And I think there was a farmer who was who was using cow poop or something.
Yeah, I think a Dirty Jobs episode did something like that. Yeah. I definitely remember looking at that. But I agree, methane. Let's trap it.
Hey, there's a t-shirt. So food waste is I thought it was the potential was increased without a refrigerator. You've opened my eyes here. But another those double bummers that I did add, though, more packaging and more trips to the store.
Yeah.
Again, if you have if you live near a store that you can bike to or something like that, that gets around that. And then also, if you are one of those zero waste people, like have you heard of Bea Johnson?
Yeah, she's pretty remarkable. What's her website?
It is Zero Waste Home.
Yeah, she's one of these people that is doing like the family experiment. Like, let's see what we can really do.
Yeah.
And putting it on a blog.
She, I think her family is the one that has produced a quart of waste in a year.
A quart of trash.
In a year. Everything else is reused. She has five R's. You think your three R's are worthwhile?
Reduce, reuse, recycle. What are her other two?
Refuse.
Oh, wow.
So she's saying, like, even if it's free, you know that free Frisbee the chiropractor gives you?
Yeah.
Say you don't want it.
I do that a lot, actually. I don't want a lot of that junk.
Okay, so you're in line with this.
Yeah.
Reduce, which would be,
yeah,
you know, say using your own grocery bags.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So you're reducing the use of the store's grocery bags.
Oh, okay.
Reuse.
Yeah.
So don't throw your own grocery bag away.
Right.
Use it again.
Yeah.
Recycle.
Yes.
You've heard of this one.
Sure.
And then rot, Chuck, rot.
Like rotten H if you're not going to do this?
I think so. That's the last one.
What does she mean by rot?
I'm sure composting.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and like you said about the people that, like, I want to go without a fridge, but I'm going to go to the grocery store every 10 minutes to get a packet of mayonnaise. I don't think that's the case. Like, I bet a lot of those people are growing food in their gardens and composting and, like, probably not doing that.
And plus, also, she points out, B. Johnson points out that a lot of the stuff that we would consider food waste, like, you know, grocery stores, food waste to me is I think we should do a whole podcast on it. It is fascinating.
Yeah.
Mind-boggling. The amount of waste we produce food-wise. I've read that something like a third of all of the food in the world goes to waste one way or another. Either like 50% in the developing world doesn't make it after being harvested.
Right.
Food waste from the United States. In the grocery stores in the U.S., there's any kind of cosmetic imperfection.
Yeah, if it's not pretty enough.
They just throw it away. There's nothing wrong with it, but it'll just get tossed.
Yeah, I don't think I would like to know what goes on behind the scenes of like a huge grocery chain.
I think we need to like get to the bottom of it.
An expose, perhaps.
But yeah, right. But B. Johnson points out a lot of the stuff that even people at home would consider wasted, spoiled food can be reused. So like if you have a bunch of stale bread, make bread pudding. If you have some wilted lettuce, drop it in an ice bath and it wakes back up.
You know, I feed a lot of stale bread to the birds.
Well, that's nice.
Like when I have moldy bread, I always just like go out and throw it.
That's nice. And then do you eat the birds afterwards? Are you like raising them?
Yeah, I get my BB gun.
You don't even need a BB gun. You just teach them to eat out of your hand and then grab them.
Snap the little neck. Right. And you got brown thrasher for dinner. That's our state bird. We get in trouble for that.
Would we?
Yeah, you can't kill your state bird.
I figured it was the state bird because it was the tastiest bird.
No, I don't think so.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on. Hey, everybody. Did you know that Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico? But it's more than just a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Yeah, that's right. It's an island that's filled with adventure around every corner and natural treasures waiting to be explored, like El Yunque, the only tropical rainforest in the entire United States.
That's right. Or you can get swept away by natural beauty and come away with unique stories that could only be experienced in Puerto Rico that remind you of why you travel in the first place.
Visits end, but stories last forever. You don't become a part of the island, it becomes a part of you.
That's right. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
So you dug this up. This is pretty interesting. If you want to talk about people really going the extra mile to not have a carbon footprint, some folks are making their own shoes out of old tires and old jeans and hemp, of course.
Okay, yeah.
Not much arch support, though, apparently.
Right.
Sort of like a moccasin, I would imagine.
Yeah.
You can eat your weeds in your yard.
Right.
If you're into that. A lot of edible weeds, like garlic mustard or chickweed.
Yeah, I mean, like, what's a weed but some plant that we decided we didn't want?
Yeah.
I read something somewhere about the human diet, how it's become so narrow. We used to eat a lot more stuff.
Oh, I bet.
A lot more weeds. And as a result, our health was a lot better. And
yeah.
The bitter, I think we talked about it before. Have you gotten to the point, too, where everything we talk about rings a bell? Like, we've mentioned everything before?
Yeah, our world is getting narrower.
It is. But I feel like we've talked about before, the bitterer the plant, the healthier it tends to be. And
yeah.
I think you said also bitterness, though, also is suggests that it's poisonous, too.
Well, that is part of the edibility test. And you shouldn't just go in your yard and just pull a bunch of weeds and eat them. Not everything is edible.
Dying is not that green.
No. But if you do have edible weeds and you want to add them as in your salads or something, that's something that some people do.
Some people. Some people use old license plates to side their houses.
Is that true?
It's in this article. Of course it's true.
I bet you that's a thing. I could see that. And you know what? Why not? They're just going to waste. You know? Old license plates?
Sure.
We got a birdhouse made out of license plates.
Oh, those are cute.
Yeah, it's all right. We got it because it was
it's all right.
Ohio, California, and Georgia, which was Emily's three states, which was kind of weird.
So the triumvirate.
Like, I got to have this.
Yeah. Do you use it for BB gun practice?
No, that's just birds.
Okay.
You know, I shot an animal once in my life, and it was one of the worst things that had ever happened to me.
Yeah.
I was too young. I got a BB gun. And I was tired of shooting cans, so I shot a squirrel, and it haunts me to this day.
I imagine.
And I'm not poo-pooing hunters. If you're into that, that's fine. I'm just not into it.
Yeah.
So I shot a squirrel when I was 12.
You're a haunted man.
I want to come clean.
Yeah.
All right. So what's this poop burger thing?
I couldn't find any corroborating evidence, but basically there was a story that popped up on a couple of blogs about a Japanese scientist who had basically converted human feces into an edible burger. And the two blog posts I saw were basically piggybacking off of each other.
Yeah.
And the original source led to a 404 error. So I think the American press accidentally picked up a Yes Men article or something like that, you know?
Well, how about if anyone can corroborate? I have the worst time with that word. Can
corroborate?
I can't ever say the word right.
Say it.
Corroborate?
No.
Corroborate?
Corroborate.
Corroborate.
There you go. Can we put a ding, ding, ding in there post-production?
So if anyone can let us know that this story is true, then...
Yeah, I'd love to know that.
Yeah, let us know.
There are, speaking of fecal material, though, Chuck, there was also this green movement to give up toilet paper.
Oh, I heard about that.
Do you remember that huge ball that was the size of a school bus that was made of... like handy wipes and fat in London?
I don't remember that.
Oh, really?
No.
It was this fatty deposit made up of grease and used handy wipes.
Was it like an art project?
No, it was trapped in the London sewer system.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like on display or something.
No. No, God, no.
No, I don't remember that. That's horrific.
It was within the last year.
Wow.
Well, anyway, I guess some people are taking this even further. Saying, not even toilet paper will touch my bottom. Instead, I'm going to use basically diapers.
Oh, just like cloth squares?
Uh-huh. So you keep a pail of clean ones on one side and a dirty pail on the other.
Uh-huh.
And then you just wash the poopy ones and you're green.
Huh. I don't think I would go that far.
I don't think so.
But I am interested in a bidet because I do think toilet paper is disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
Like taking dry, thin paper and wiping poop from your skin.
Yeah.
I don't get it. And it's never made sense to me.
Really? Even as a child?
Well, no, since I got grown enough to realize that moisture is a pretty nice thing to have
right, sure.
if you're cleaning poop.
Yeah. Oh, you just put a little Vaseline in there.
So a bidet, I'd be into a bidet.
Okay.
And I'm exclusively with the wet wipes.
Well, you're contributing to the huge fat deposit ball. In
really?
The, well, that's what it was made up.
Even those that say they're flushable, it's probably a bunch of bunk.
The London thing proves it as bunk.
Really?
And for some reason, I don't remember why, but like it was almost exclusively wet wipes and fat, grease.
That's really
so, like
gross.
They were attracted to one another or something like that.
Maybe so.
I don't understand it.
All right.
You'd think there'd be like a squirrel.
Yeah.
Or the remnants of a squirrel.
Right.
In there or something. But no, it's just wet wipes and grease.
Holy cow.
Well, let's get this one back on the rails and finish it up, huh?
I don't have anything else, do you?
Did you see the Albert Einstein refrigerator?
Oh, that's like no electricity whatsoever?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Well, it does need a source of heat. But in 1938, I think, Einstein and one of his former students developed a refrigerator that has no moving parts. It requires, it could be run on solar energy, but basically it uses, you know, when you lower the pressure, the atmospheric pressure of something, its boiling temperature yeah. lowers as well. And then when you boil something, it sucks energy out of the surrounding atmosphere and lowers the temperature.
Oh, yeah.
That's basically this kind of Rube Goldberg-esque Einstein invention that this guy in Oxford was trying to rebuild. And he made a test pilot version of it, but it's like not very efficient.
I think that's not a new thing, but I've seen a lot of stuff lately about people remaking like some early inventions that were never able to be properly made.
Yeah, I think you were talking about that, like Da Vinci stuff.
Well, there's
trying to make that.
Yeah, there's a TV show where they definitely did the Da Vinci stuff, mm-hmm. but those were mainly like weapons and things.
Oh, yeah.
But I did see a video the other day that someone made a Da Vinci, a musical instrument that Da Vinci invented that was never properly made. And it was played like a piano, but sounded like strings.
Nice.
And it was really kind of awesome.
Yeah.
So that's a long way of saying build this fridge, the Einstein fridge.
Well, there's other things you can do, too. If you have a fridge and you don't feel like giving up your fridge. If you have a fridge that's older than 2000
yeah.
and you have a little bit of dough, go buy an Energy Star rated one.
Yeah, and throw that other one in a landfill.
Right. No, use it as like a planter or something out in your backyard to grow food in.
Yeah, you can always sell a fridge.
Yeah.
Like any appliance that works, mm-hmm. you can sell to somebody.
You just want to take the door off to make sure no little kids get trapped in it. Or Indiana Jones.
That's right.
You also, if you do have an Energy Star rated fridge, you want to clean the coils off once a year.
That'll keep it running efficiently.
Right, yeah. Exactly. You want to think about what you're going to open the fridge to get so you don't just stand there with the fridge open like a slack-jawed yokel.
Like everybody does.
Right.
Yeah.
And then apparently if you keep your fridge fairly stocked, that will allow it to... the temperature to bounce back to where it needs to be.
Yeah.
It has less atmosphere to
gotcha.
Cool.
My fridge you have to open to get the water, filtered water, which really bugs me. It's not like in the outside
oh, really?
Of the door.
Huh. I've never seen that.
Yeah.
You just live in a cuckoo house. You got cauliflower
just
out in your
around.
Fruit basket.
Yep.
You got to open the door to get some water.
Got cilantro sitting in cups all over the house.
That's a good idea. I've tried that, but put it in the fridge, and it just wrecks it. So I guess maybe
yeah,
just leaving it out.
I mean, it lasts for quite a while.
Oh, man, I love that stuff.
Yeah.
Don't you feel bad for people who taste dish soap when they eat cilantro?
Yeah, I love cilantro.
Me too, buddy. Well, that's it about cilantro. If you want to learn more about it, you can type the word into the search bar at How Stuff Works. And you can also type in, can I go without a refrigerator in the search bar? And it'll bring this article up. And since I said search bar, that means it's time for listener mail.
Yeah, I'm going to call this from one of our law enforcement officers. Hey, guys, my name is Andy. I'm a police officer for a law enforcement agency in St. Louis, Missouri area.
Mm-hmm.
Go Cardinals. I'm a big fan of the show and appreciate the always new interesting topics and discussions, and I've noticed that you seem to have an affinity for law enforcement related topics, which is true.
You definitely do. You love them.
I would just listen. I think I wanted to be a cop or something, maybe.
You can be a security guard.
That's not the same. I was just listening to the Meth podcast and noticed that you mentioned one of the first shake and bake incidences, and that's a mobile meth lab. Apparently, that's like the cop lingo, which occurred actually in my precinct at a Walmart. Remember we talked about that? I was not yet employed there, but I know one of the officers, I know the officer that responded. From what I understand, a woman with shoplifting was in custody of the loss prevention officers, and when they called for police assistance, my now coworker arrested her and in the process discovered a Gatorade bottle in her purse, which was being used as a mobile meth lab.
That is so crazy.
It is very crazy. Meth usage in the area that I work in is rampant, and only having been on the force less than a year, I've already handled two meth labs of my own. Having seen firsthand some of the reactions to meth that these folks have, I will say that you are pretty much right on, guys. Additionally, another unfortunate situation is that where there is a meth lab, typically there are children. One of my meth labs was also home to seven kids. It's a really sad sight to see.
Yeah, remember that one episode of Breaking Bad?
Which one?
The one where Pinkman basically gets kidnapped by those meth addicts who stole a whole ATM machine, and there's a little kid there.
And typically, you will find that the parents have little interest in their children and pay them very little attention in general. Well, of course, because they're all interested in using meth.
Sure.
It's kind of a one-track mind situation. So, it makes you appreciate non-meth users, is what Andy says. So, thanks, Andy, officer.
Yeah, he wrapped that up at the end, didn't he?
Spanked it on the bottom. He had another part, so it might have read awkward, a suggestion, which I cut out. But I took the suggestion, but just didn't read it.
Is it a mystery suggestion, then?
Yeah, maybe. I'll surprise you.
Well, if you want to send us a mystery suggestion, we are welcome to those. You can tweet to us at SYSK Podcast. You can join us on Facebook.com/StuffYouShouldKnow. Or you can send us an email to StuffPodcast@HowStuffWorks.com.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
Childproofing people's homes is hard, but Duracell is making it just a bit simpler. Not only are they committed to educating parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of battery safety, they make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Duracell even features child-secure packaging designed to avoid accidental opening. Learn more at Duracell.com/powersafely. Available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.